Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go. Go.
Are we recording?
No.
We're not?
Yes, we are.
Ah, you silly goose.
That's got to be a Caucasianism, too.
Oh, yeah. Come here, you silly goose.
We talked about that on the Patreon, but I don't think anybody knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Right now.
There's been a list of white people sayings that has gone viral that I have been absolutely obsessed with. That's rich coming from you. These are some of my favorites. Let me be frank. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
You know what
Barking
I'm wondering now, though?
Tree. What's that?
Is frank an actual word? Like, let me be frank with you?
Like, yeah, it's like, let me be clear.
It does. It's an actual word, though, right? It's not like slang? Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
It's like capitalized. We're like, what?
Let me be frank.
Let me be Vincent.
Can I still be Garth?
Garth. Okay. Today we're doing Kurt Cobain.
Ooh.
This was your choice.
Yes, it was.
So, do you have anything before we dive in that you want to share?
About Kurt Cobain?
Just about life.
I saw Jerry Seinfeld the other day.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Fantastic.
Was he still funny?
Like, out of 10, it was 1,000. I really couldn't oversell it enough.
Really?
He was just phenomenal. Like, first of all, he comes out, he runs on stage.
He's 700 right? years old. He should really not do that.
He runs on stage and he's just like, oh my God, it's me. Can you believe it? You're out and I'm here. It's the guy from TV. And it was, I was like, that's what everybody is thinking. That's what everybody, it was just, yeah. I think he's funnier than he's ever been.
Wow. Good for him. Is he still got that shaved head? Is he still doing coffee and cars?
No, he's not doing that. He's got a new movie out, though, coming out, I believe, to Netflix. It's a fictionalized version of the history of the Pop-Tart.
Thank God. Somebody had to do
it. Hugh Grant is in it.
So
Hugh Grant plays Tony the Tiger.
You should have been in that movie. It sounds like they were only casting people with big blue eyes. Just you, Seinfeld, Hugh Grant.
Flattery will get you everywhere, my dear.
So, I would like to say a few thank yous to our patrons.
Thank you.
Because I don't know if you knew this about me, but I am not the most organized person.
I did not know that about you.
I was like, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to start saying like...
Well, you have 3 kids. I just assumed anybody that's got a kid, let alone 3 kids, has got some organized chaos.
There's a lot of them. There is a lot of them. I'm not going to lie. I mean, probably too. No, I was going to say too many, but it's not nice.
Too many. Like it's 3.
So, our new Patreons, Becky P. Thank you so much. Laura M. Catherine
I'm gonna
T.
I'm going to call Becky Bex.
That's a really, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking go for it.
Made that executive decision.
Catherine T, JV, and...
Catherine and JV.
There's also somebody else that I didn't put in here, but it was their name was like something lover. Plant lover.
Plant lover?
Yeah.
Oh, does that mean they're a pothead or a hippie or both? No, wait.
Maybe they just like plants.
Like a botanist?
Sure.
Who loves plants?
A lot of people love plants.
You like pants? Plants?
I love pants. My favorite article of clothing almost.
My folks went away to Florida for a little bit and I had to water all their plants. The most stressful thing I've ever done in my life.
You shouldn't have kids.
I could barely handle just water. Kids are food and water. Shelter.
A lot
cleaning.
Of times, yeah.
I'd have to clean the plants.
You didn't clean the plants?
Yeah.
Your mom comes home. Have you never showered my plants?
Have you not been... These are filthy. There's dirt everywhere. This one's covered in dirt.
I didn't write it down on the way here. It popped up, though, that we have another new patron. Her name was... Oh, I told myself to remember this.
Her name was?
Heather M.
Heather M.
Yeah.
Hello, Heather.
Thank you for supporting us.
Thank you for the support. You're like a comfortable brassiere.
Wow, that's really a kind thing to say.
We all need support.
Guys, just in full disclosure, it's St. Patrick's Day here, and I brought Matt a beer.
Yeah.
And he is two sheets to the wind, Raiden.
I am a little hammered. I also
made it green, and his whole face is green.
It is a large beer. It's a king can.
Is it a king can? I don't think that's a king can. I think it's tall like boy? A... It's not a tall boy, is it?
I don't know.
It's like...
It's a big one.
Is it a big one?
Like, I think I'd blow over right now. Like, I don't think I could... I wouldn't have the confidence to drive my vehicle right now.
First and foremost...
Yeah.
That's not how blowing over works.
Oh, how would you one know beer, you're married?
One beer is not going to make you blow over. You're a lightweight.
Even if I am drunk?
Matt, it doesn't measure your brain.
Thank God. Inconclusive, blow again.
It's like he's thinking about boobs. It's,
yeah. Wait a second. Chicken wings.
Okay, so today we are going to be covering one hell of a case. Mm-hmm. This case was requested by the one and only Matt McLean.
Heard of him.
This is the death of the unbelievably talented Kurt Cobain. And the 30th anniversary is coming up on April 8th.
Wow.
April 5th, to be fair.
Okay.
He was found on April 8th.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So, I think we are fairly safe in assuming that a lot of people at least know who Kurt Cobain is. A lot of people think it's a clothing line.
Like Calvin Klein? Oh, because the shirt with his face on it?
Not even his face, just like the Nirvana name. And a lot of people...
Oh, yeah, like hot going into Hot Topic. They just wear it and like, name three songs. What?
Yeah, well, I couldn't either. But actually, I could do two.
Wow.
Yeah, I could do two safely. But I was reading this thing and some girl said that she had grown up in Seattle and she was wearing a Nirvana shirt. And this, I went down a Reddit hole.
Yeah.
And the girl said, oh, is that why you have the Nirvana shirt? Because they're from Washington State. And the girl was like, who's that? What are you talking about? And they're it's my favorite band. And she's like, oh my God, Nirvana's a band?
I would just be like, all right, you know what? You're done here.
Do you know any of the names that Nirvana almost was, though?
I don't believe so, no. Not off the top of my head.
Okay, you're going to learn them.
All right.
I think we should have gone with the first one.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So, he was at his peak, the peak of his career, when he died in April of 1994 by an apparent suicide. Now, I don't think that there are a lot of people who are familiar with this case who would say that Kurt wasn't troubled at all.
Right. Yeah, I think we all know that he had some substance and some mental health issues.
And some physical issues as well. But I think that if maybe he had been put on a medication that made him not as... He was manically depressed.
He was tortured.
Yeah, absolutely tortured.
Tortured soul, tortured artist in every true sense of the word.
And it's really, really hard to hear and see somebody just kind of fucking white-knuckling it through life. So this certainly was, you know, not the case for Kurt. He was very in his own head. He always had been, at least since the age of 8. Kurt himself would say that before the age of 8, he had the perfect childhood. He said that his mother was the best mother ever. He said that she was very affectionate with him and she believed that he could do anything and therefore he believed that he could do anything. He literally said to himself one day, I could be the president of the United States if I wanted to. And then he thought to himself, but you know what? I think I'd rather be a rock star. And so he was like, all right, I'm going to be a rock star.
All right,
and that's a little confusing because he fucking was a rock star. So maybe he could have been.
Yeah, really? No. Well, I mean, listen, anytime you saw him in interviews, he was very intelligent. I mean, he was
a lot more intelligent than some of the presidents.
They edited him a lot. I think Kirk in a lot of his interviews.
Really?
I think so. I mean, in the same time, with like, I look at him and I kind of put him in the same boat as like Marilyn Manson when they speak, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, holy shit. Wow. Okay. You just think rock star, spoiled, whatever.
No,
right?
I don't think Kirk, like, wow. Kirk was very, like I said, he was very in his own head. I was never a Nirvana fan. That's not my scene. I was like fucking Spice Girls, Hanson, Backstreet Boys, all that kind of stuff. I have a very, very... in like deep newfound appreciation for who he was as a human being. I think that he went against the grain and he was like very, he was who he was and he wasn't trying to impress anybody or appease anybody in any shape, way or form.
No, I think that he wanted to stay true to himself.
And he did.
As much as he.
Yep, he did.
As much as he could.
So When he was 8, though, his parents divorced. This was something that really rocked him. And he said he was embarrassed by it. Like, he was embarrassed that his family wasn't proper. Like, it wasn't the right kind of family.
Now, Kurt, it's maybe the majority.
You are in the majority, for sure. So, at first, his mother, Wendy, who he fucking adored, had custody of him and his younger sister, Kim. But in 1979, she granted full custody of Kurt to his father, Donald. And that would leave him at a very young and impressionable age, being extremely confused and hurt, naturally. Kim would stay with her mother and would eventually change her last name to O'Connor, which was the name of her new stepfather, Pat. So Donald had told Kurt that he didn't plan on remarrying, but he would later meet Jenny Westerby and they would remarry. Kurt said that at first this was okay. He had a stepbrother named James and a stepsister named Mindy, but Jenny was so kind to him and he really felt a maternal connection to her. Nice. And like, that was kind of something that he was missing and craving. Mm. But then Donald, his father, and Jenny had another baby, and it was a boy. So that was Chad. And this was when Kurt started to feel a bit edged out of the family on that side. So Kurt would end up staying with a long string of relatives, and before ending up back at his mother's place in Aberdeen, Washington, in the early 80s, so he would move back in with his mother, and then he would also get a new baby sister in 1985 named Brianne O'Connor. So just a fucking lot of siblings. A
big family, split up all over Washington
State. That is called blended.
Yeah.
So Kurt was very sensitive. He felt things strongly and even said that he felt as if he had been found at birth. He didn't believe that he belonged to people. Wow. He said for a period during his childhood, he genuinely felt like aliens had dropped him off as a baby and he had been found because he was so different than everyone else that he knew.
Right.
When he was in high school, he said that he felt a hatred towards people. It's a very, very interesting because he kind of flip-flops between loving people too much and having disdain for them. So, there's a thin line. Yeah. So he said that he felt a hatred towards people, but then he would get into his own head and he started to believe that he was wearing his hate on his face and that people could tell that he hated them. So he was worried that other people would start to think of him as that kid who would come into school with like an AK-47 just because he hated everyone so much.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So his feelings towards people were complicated though. Like I just said, he would often say that he loved people a lot and like that was damaging to him as well. But regardless, he said that he just wanted to be accepted. But he was particular about who he wanted to be accepted by.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be one of the popular kids at all.
Really?
He didn't want to be a jock. He actually said that in spite of his father, like he was a gifted wrestler when he was younger. Kurt was.
Wow.
But he would do things in sports and in wrestling just to lose or get pinned. And he would do them on purpose just to disappoint his dad.
That's fucking hilarious. Like, that is rock star. That, to me, like, that's so funny.
So, he said that everyone in school knew this one kid was gay. I don't know if you saw my post about this the other day. Did you?
I believe I did. Was it? Or did you text me? Or no? Yeah.
I might have texted you, too, because I was really, like, floored by this. I think it's super cool. He said that everyone in school knew that this one kid was gay, but Kurt didn't. He didn't really care. He didn't see it. He didn't look for it. Whatever this guy wanted to do was kind of his own fucking thing.
What an interesting attitude to have.
And he said that he formed a friendship with this kid, and he actually said verbatim that it stopped him from thinking about killing himself every day, this friendship that he had with this kid.
Wow.
But, of course, with that went, you know, all the other kids started to think, oh, well, if that kid's gay and Kurt's hanging out with him, then he's gay.
That is so, as I am 42. I go down to Pride every year and I put photos up. And the amount of people that think, well, you must be gay too, because you're down being an ally.
And you're like, I'll try anything.
It's like, listen, I don't care. Yeah. I will try. I'm obviously not working out with the ladies. Something's got to give here, people.
And that guy's cute. And So, in the locker rooms, the other guys would either cover up their penises which is a word I discovered I had never written before because penises? I was like, huh, seems like a lot of S-s-s-s-s.
Is it P-E-N-I-S?
E-S.
E-S.
Yep.
No apostrophe.
It's a bold choice.
Wow. Hey, penis eyes. So, I'd say wieners.
Lovely. That is very lovely.
Thank you.
So, you know, they would either cover them up to stop him from looking at them, because I'm sure he was like, just chomping at the bed. And or they would punch him, or they would do both. But Kurt said that he actually found himself becoming, quote unquote, proud of being gay, even though I wasn't.
That's fantastic.
Because he said, I enjoyed the conflict.
Yeah.
Aberdeen was a city, it still is a city.
They didn't lose their township
to this
status.
Fucking day.
You will not believe it. Listen, spoiler alert and trigger warning if you're a municipality. Municipality? I'm hammered.
One beer, you guys. One, although it's Canadian beer. So we're
I
like.
I didn't even know I was drinking at the casino the other night for Seinfeld. I don't know how I kept that up.
Maybe it was just, this is a very quiet, still environment. So you're like.
Yeah, that is true.
Aware of it.
Yeah.
So. And it's probably because I'm sitting in front of you. You're like, gosh, she's so fucking annoying and I'm so wasted.
No. So annoying.
I just want to go to bed. Shut up.
We get it. He was in a band.
So this Aberdeen as a city was a teenager's nightmare. Mm. There was absolutely nothing to do except for get in trouble or play music. And that's why there's actually a few bands that came out of Aberdeen.
Oh, fuck yeah.
In the Soaked in Bleach documentary that I watched, they said that because there wasn't much opportunity for employment there, that welfare checks would go in on the first and all the bars would be rammed. And then by the end of the month, they'd be completely empty.
Well, oh, yeah. They're spending all their...
Yeah.
Wow.
So neighbors of Kurt's mom, Wendy, said that they would often see Kurt and Wendy out on the front porch arguing for sometimes up to 45 minutes. And that was why he did try to sleep on friends' couches as much as possible.
Damn it, Mom. I swear to God, I'm going to start a band. I'm going to get out of here. Yeah, whatever. Take the garbage out first, then write a song.
Oh, actually, it's funny that you say that because, in fact, one of the couches that he slept on for the better part of a year was Lamont Schellinger's couch. He was the school principal, and his two sons were friends with Kurt.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, so one night they asked if Kurt could sleep on the couch, and Lamont said yes. And the next morning, Kurt got up and he asked what he could do around the house to pull his own weight. And soon enough, he was put into the chore rotation, and he would often vacuum or wash dishes. And, you know, he was just trying to earn his keep. Mm-hmm. But it was really funny because it's like this was Kurt in high school. He died when he was 27. And when they interviewed Lamont, he was like, this here couch was the couch that Kurt Cobain slept on. And I was like, sir, you might need to get a new couch.
Lamont.
Lamont, your couch is really old. That thing has had farts sunk into it for way too many years.
What is the school board paying you, Lamont, for the love of God?
Actually, I think that is one of
Lamont, Kurt's- you've had three generations on this couch.
This is Kurt's hair, actually. Oh, he picks it out from between. So... You know, he was doing what he could to earn his keep. Kurt dropped out of high school 2 weeks before graduating, which seems
come on, Kurt.
Fucking liberate.
Yeah.
When he couldn't find a couch to crash on, Kurt would often sleep under the Yonge Street Bridge in North Aberdeen, which was known as the North Aberdeen Bridge.
You got to be shitting me.
Imagine it was the South Aberdeen Bridge. What the?
I get a little geography trivia for you. What city would you say the Toronto Island is located in?
Toronto.
Bingo!
I almost answered that differently because I thought you were stumping me. So, it is now famously known as the Kurt Cobain Bridge.
Oh.
It's completely covered in spray paint art tributes.
Yeah, okay.
To Kurt. And there is also a plaque underneath that reads, In Memoriam, from the Muddy Banks of Wishka.
Oh, that's cute. Wishka?
Wishka. It's from the Nirvana Live album, The Muddy Banks of Wishka.
Come on, that's not the album, is it?
Swear to God.
I love it.
It was released in 1996, so after he died.
Do you remember when he died?
No.
Like, that wasn't on your radar? Me neither.
I was in grade 4.
Yeah.
So I don't think I was like, oh no, not Cobain.
Yeah, I remember afterwards. Like, really? I remember being into Nirvana. I knew of them, but not that much, and no, really getting into them afterwards, like kind of when I was getting into like Soundgarden and Pearl Jam.
That's one thing is that Nirvana is timeless.
Like, yeah.
It's still, I don't listen to that kind of radio station. I listen to your radio station, but my husband listens to like all those like super
rock
old,
and roll. Yeah.
And so when I get in, Nirvana still plays regularly.
Yeah. So down and out.
They had it. Yeah. Okay. I have so much to say about it too. Like this man had muscle memory. He could be fucking lit out of his mind. And like, he would do that like gyrating thing with the friggin' neck of the guitar so that it was like, and he was like half asleep.
Possessed.
Like, what the fuck? Almost. And how does he know how to do that still? Like, I'd have trouble. He was having trouble walking, but he still, the way he played guitar, it looked like if you just looked at his hand, you wouldn't even think that it was, he was fucked up. But so during the period of time when he would sleep under this bridge, according to Kurt himself, he did attempt to take his own life by lying on some train tracks. But as he lay there, he heard the train coming and he braced himself only to realize that the train had traveled down the tracks that he wasn't on. It was like the one right beside him. Through his life, his Aunt Mary was always one of his like biggest supporters. She always saw the musical talent in him as young as 2 years old. And she still to this day, and by this day, I mean 1997, because that's when the documentary that I saw this part was made. But she had like recordings of him singing the Beatles and the Monkees when he was two.
Really?
And just this like joyous little baby giggle. And yeah, I was just like, fuck, like it hurts my heart to think of how this ended.
Yeah.
But and then there was another track and she called it Baby Nirvana. And it was just him like screaming songs. So she gave Kurt his very first guitar. She was also a musician. And she sold him his first mixer.
Wow.
Neighbors would say that they would often catch him just walking down the street. He had drumsticks and he would just like beat drums on anything, on fucking stop signs, on his dad's truck. Like he was just always
fucking, that music is
in you. Yeah. It, for sure. So Kurt met Krist Novoselic in 1985. The pair knew that they wanted to make music together and they would go through a handful of band names and even a handful of drummers, but the two constants were always Kurt and Krist. And it's Krist. Did you know that? Do you know who he is?
I did not know that until right now.
Okay. Well, it's Krist.
No idea. I always thought it was Krist.
So they would start off as Skid Row. That was their first band name.
Oh, I wonder if that's where Skid Row got their name from.
Don't think so. Because that is another band and they were the same, same time kind of.
Okay. It's from Peterborough, I think.
Peterborough, really?
I think so.
So yeah, they found out that another band went by that name. One day, Krist came over and Kurt was drawing a picture of a giant pen. And the cap was all chewed up and then they would become Pen Cap Chew.
Like it?
I believe before Pen Cap Chew, they were Fecal Matter.
Oh my God.
Which is the winner in my eyes.
Should be Fecal Matters. Grow up. Look at you.
Why do you do it? Why? it's like I don't have any self-control when it comes to that kind of stuff. So they also were known as Bliss, Ted, Ed, Fred.
That's terrible.
And they finally landed on Nirvana, which is fucking way better than any of those other ones.
Right?
So Kurt eventually landed on Nirvana because he said that he wanted something that also sounded nice and pretty and not like mean and raunchy.
But could also be mean and raunchy.
I mean, it's better than Fecal Matter.
I don't think I knew what Nirvana meant at the time. Like I was years and years later.
Okay, what does it mean?
Nirvana?
Yeah.
It's just like a state of euphoria.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
like
okay.
Bliss, something like a...
Yeah, so it's basically bliss enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1986, Kurt met and started dating Tracy Miranda. And the two would eventually get a place together. And Kurt would give... He was an artist in every way, like, of the word. He He was a painter. He was a sculptor. He made fucking weird.
Oh, like a Renaissance man. Yes. Like everything.
He would make weird, like creative doll art. He really liked dolls. Wow. But he would give her a bunch of his art. And in the 1998 documentary, Kurt and Courtney, Tracy still had a lot of his art up in her home.
Wow.
And he would tell others, he never told Tracy, but he told others that the song about a girl was about her.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes. But it does talk about how, and I listened to the song after that, and he talks about how he can't stay with her every night for free. That's kind of one of the lyrics in the song, and it, the meaning behind it, because she was like funding him as he was being a starving artist, essentially. But
and then he hits it and it's like, hey, this is gonna go now. Thanks for all the support.
So this would be the third track on their debut album, which was Bleach, and that was released on June 15th of 1989. Tracy supported Kurt both financially and emotionally as he worked on Nirvana. He did take the odd small jobs, I think like as a custodian a couple of times, but for the most part, Tracy took care of all the financials that got them by. On the album Bleach,
a good move.
Yeah.
That's what I gotta get. I need a Tracy. But I don't want to be I'm not an artist. I don't want to contribute anything. I just want
like nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
I would like to just be a taker.
You're going to have to wash that green off your teeth.
If you could make that happen.
Sure, yeah. No, that was actually, wasn't that one of my obligations when we started this podcast?
That's right.
Find you selfish a Tracy Moran.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know. I didn't even know what that meant until now, but here we are.
But you said it.
You signed off on the dotted line.
Weird.
So on the album Bleach, they had hired kind of what they expected to be their permanent drummer, Chad Channing. They would record, the album's a lot bigger than this, but just for an example, they recorded three songs and a bonus track on the album and mixed them all in studio in 6 hours.
That is insane.
That's exactly what everybody said.
That is, some of the biggest songs in the world are written and composed within 20 minutes. That is no problem.
Yeah.
To lay down a track is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're banking on first time recordings.
Yeah.
That means no errors.
That's what everybody said, that it was unheard of. nowadays, of course, there's much more editing done to songs. But furthermore, Jack Endino was the producer, and he only charged them, like, essentially pennies to record that entire album. Mm-hmm. It was less than $1,000. I think it was, like, $670 to record all the tracks on that album for them.
How much studio time do you need when you...
when you're fucking banging out songs like that. No, for real. So Jack and Dino recorded all of their songs on a reel-to-reel 8-track machine.
Wow.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I had to look it up, what it meant.
It's an analog tape. Yeah, it just goes at almost like a figure eight.
Yes, exactly. So in September of 1991, Kurt went with Tracy to a small club to watch another local band, the Melvins. Do you know the Melvins?
I know the name. I don't know if I would know any of their music,
no,
but I do. The name is definitely familiar to me. I put them up there with like the Smiths, the Cures, a band that's kind of too cool that I don't really know anything about.
Gotcha. So this kind of seemed to be like a turning point for Kurt. He wanted to get serious about the kind of sound that he wanted for Nirvana, and he didn't think that Chad Channing was that sound.
Whoa.
So Kurt fucking fired this poor guy. And he put the word out there that they were looking for a drummer. He was contacted by one Dave Grohl, who I'm sure you've never heard of him before.
Heard of him.
Who would fly out to meet him and Christ, and they auditioned for them both. He auditioned for them both. And like that, the Nirvana that most of us have come to know was born.
Woo!
And can I just say about Dave Grohl? Because I
know. Move on. No, you... Can I just say about Dave Grohl? Absolutely not.
You need to shut your fucking mouth when it comes to Dave Grohl. That's my one rule. You fucking talk about Dave Grohl, you're out of here. I'm into a bunch of like bitch music.
Yeah.
Not this kind of stuff, not the Foo Fighters, but... I've always loved Dave Grohl because I think he's like a really stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
This man And he's aged. You can see that he's aged, but he looks better now than he did when he was with Nirvana. Like, yeah. He has aged into a very handsome man, I think.
It is remarkable to see what are the odds that you make it big in a band.
Yeah.
Then
you make it
that
big
band
in two
folds tragically in the most tragic way possible. Then you lock yourself away from society, single-handedly record one of the top 10 rock albums of definitely my generation. And then for a side project, you come up with this Queens of the Stone Age just for fun.
He apparently, though, him and Kurt hated each other.
Oh, really?
You know what? It came from Courtney, so who knows?
Oh, yeah, then it's bullshit.
She's like, everyone hated Kurt except
like,
for
oh, my
me.
God, why don't you shoot him again then? You're fucking dumb.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, Dave would say in a recent interview with Conan O'Brien that in a time before they released their album Nevermind, that him and Kurt lived together in fucking squalor. He said that they lived off of corn dogs and cigarettes. Like, get the cigarettes out of there, and I'm pretty okay with that.
Just corn dogs.
Corn dogs are not the worst thing invented. No, I don't know why everybody hates them so much.
What do we live longer off of, surviving on corn dogs or cigarettes?
So, it was on one of these dirty walls of this small apartment that Kathleen Hanna, who was the lead singer of Bikini Kill, wrote in Sharpie, Kurt smells like Teen Spirit. Isn't that just the greatest thing you've ever heard, though?
That is fantastic. I have goosebumps.
I know. So Teen Spirit was a type of deodorant. And as much as I really love Kurt now, and I think he was the absolute coolest, when I look at him, I'm not like, that guy smells like deodorant.
That guy smells, yeah.
I watched one of his performances on SNL where he was just fucking out of his face. But his jeans were like visibly dirty. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's not like that vintage look. That's real dirt.
that's good dirt. That is dirt. Was that where they...
That was 1992.
Was that Rate Me? Where they said, don't do Rate Me? And he's like, yeah, no problem.
I don't think
he's saying Rate Me.
Did he do it?
Yeah.
It was right when he did Teen Spirit was one of the songs he did. Mm-hmm. He did two. Couldn't tell you the other one. Mm-hmm. I only watched it, though, because he nearly OD'd and he was still performing. And he looked like he was going to fucking fall asleep right there on stage. And Dave Grohl called him a junkie asshole.
Oh, wow.
We'll get into that, though. But it was rumored that that band, Bikini Kill, the drummer, her name was Toby Vale, and the rumor was that Kurt fell out of love with Tracy and in love with Toby.
Whoa. Love triangle and rock and roll? You got to be shitting me right now.
I'm not. But that love was fleeting because it was in January of 1991 that Kurt would meet the lead singer and guitar player of the alternative rock band Hole.
Don't do it, Kurt. Run.
Run. Run, Kirk.
What about Hole? Did you
when
get
I
that?
Wake up in my makeup. No, I can't stand her.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. I am going to reveal that I'm kind of torn on how I think his death went. I wasn't before. It doesn't, even if she didn't have anything to do with it, it doesn't make me like her anymore.
All right.
Even her dad fucking hates her.
Oh my God.
So that singer was, of course, Courtney Love. And at this time, Courtney was in a relationship with Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They dated?
Mm-hmm.
They hate each other.
Well.
Like, notoriously.
Well, Courtney did what any other classy lady would do. And she amicably ended the relationship with Billy before embarking on a new one with Kurt. Just kidding. That's not how she rolled.
No way.
Yes.
I thought Billy Corgan was just like, I don't know, a friend of Kurt or love Nirvana. And I didn't know they dated. I'm sorry. No. My mind's getting blown here.
Yeah. No, she cheated on him with Kurt. And then Kurt apparently was like, this seems like a great idea because she seems pretty loyal.
I think if anybody is dating somebody and they cheat on them for you, that's probably going to be the last time they're ever going to cheat.
No,
so just 1,000%.
Always.
Everybody gets a freebie.
People are like, if they cheat with you, then they'll cheat on you. No. Mm-mm. false. They're fixed now.
Yeah, it's like that saying, once a cheater,
never cheats
that's
again.
The end of the sentence. Just once a cheater.
And shut up. That's what it. I think that's the next line. So, you know, by the end of 1991, Kurt and Courtney were a couple.
Oh, no.
What a lucky guy. So there's probably fucking just eyeliner on all of their pillowcases.
Oh, yeah. Would have been, and like nicotine stains.
Ooh.
Like my fingers right now because of all the food coloring. Look like I've been smoking a shit ton of Dartskis.
Your parents are going to be like, Matt, are you smoking?
Matthew, are you smoking again? Are you on the ciggies? You better not be.
So, but in between them dating in September of 1991, they released Nevermind. And in 16 months, their lives would be unrecognizable to the days where they lived in that tiny, dirty apartment with cigarette butts littering the floor, the Sharpie writing on the wall.
You know? What year was this album?
1991.
Wow. So they were at the very top when he died.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it all happened so fast.
Yeah. Because this album would have carried them for at least a year and a half.
Well, there was another one after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Smells Like Teen Spirit would catapult Nirvana into being one of the biggest bands in the entire world.
Well, they...
And he's so fucking hot, too. Like, I'm sorry, but like, are we just supposed to be like, oh...
Kurt Cobain?
If Kurt Cobain isn't one of the hottest guys I've ever seen...
No shit!
I will fucking eat my shoe.
All right. Did not know that.
Oh.
Did not register to me as an overly handsome guy, but I'll have to reconsider.
What are you talking about?
Maybe I'll have to reconsider.
I also like his greasy hair a little bit.
Okay.
I think that it looks better greasy. I'm just...
All right.
That's just me.
Alexa, remove Head & Shoulders shampoo from my shopping list.
It's greasy and dandruffy. So, you know, maybe it had something to do with me being able to understand all the lyrics to Umbop when people don't think that's a possibility. Mm. But if you offered me money, I couldn't tell you one sentence that he sings in Teen Spirit. Look, it's just like
in a penis.
What was that?
It's the lights down.
Okay.
Entertain us.
Okay.
Here we are now. Entertain us. I think that was stupid.
Wouldn't it be here we are now? Entertainers.
Entertain us. I think it's supposed to be like
Well, if somebody can
Who
fucking...
knows?
No one. Not even Kurt.
Down in here.
So, originally, this fucking blew my mind.
All right, I'm into it.
Originally, they had only made 50,000 copies of Nevermind.
Oh,
but
really?
It was such a huge success that Geffen Records had to stop production on all other artists' CDs so that they were able to make more copies of Nevermind to meet the demand.
That's extremely cool.
Un-fucking real. And if you're Dave Grohl, are you not like, I did this? Because, I mean, you guys did another album without me. And now I'm
here.
Yeah,
but those four, that changed rock and roll and music and everything. Everything.
I feel the same way about Umbop, though.
I'm sure that you feel that way. And that's great that that's how you feel. I'm talking about the masses.
Can you stop pointing in my face? That's great. That's how you feel.
Well, because it was all like Poison, Motley Crue. It was all like hair metal and New Kids on the Block. And
sucked
then
a lot of dick.
Oh my god, I like girls.
You want to know the funniest thing?
Crombie and Fitch.
I want to show you something funny that I was like. It took me a few days to realize that this is fucking fake.
Is it a picture of Dave Grohl?
No, it's a picture of Hanson with Kurt Cobain.
That's hilarious.
Because it can't be real.
How would they ever meet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so cool. And then I was like, oh, this is 3 years before Hanson even came out that Kurt died.
Did you look into his diary at all?
No, my husband told me to, though.
Fucked up.
I didn't see it. Tell me a bit about it.
Well, I mean, I did look at it in college. I had a friend that had it, and I was just fascinated. In
hindsight, that's so fucking exploitive, though.
It is. And in hindsight, it's so gross. And I really wish I'd kind of thought about that before, because you do feel a little...
Well, did they publish it? Like,
yeah. Oh, it's a book. You bought it at a bookstore.
People were just looking to fucking capitalize off of him. Like, that's all...
Yeah. It'd be Weird Al fan, too.
Kurt was?
Yeah.
Really? I can't imagine him just fucking sitting by laughing. Al,
like, did his song, he thought it was just amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's common knowledge. I'm sure it is with the real fans, but I can't even pretend to say that I was a fan. But before I got to know a lot about him, I knew who they were, of course. Mm-hmm. I knew Smells Like Teen Spirit, but essentially, Kurt suffered his entire life with chronic pain. He was diagnosed with scoliosis.
Really?
Yes. So, that was in his teenage years. He actually, forget what happened, but something where his back just seized and he thought it was broken.
Was that, I know there was an, he had an injury at a concert. I don't know if it was a guitar swinging or he fell over the drum kit wrong or something.
Sometimes falling over a drum kit isn't always the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Rock and roll.
So, yeah, he said that actually because of playing the guitar and the way he was always kind of hunched over the way he was,
it
made it worse. And it was like affecting the left side of his body more because of the way the guitar hung.
Wow. Yeah. How do you not notice that?
Like, yeah. Well, no, now if you watch it though, you can see that he is a little bit of a hunchback right. When he does it. And after being diagnosed with that, he began suffering with severe stomach pain, which now they believe was IBS. But Kurt was going to doctors for fucking ever, trying to get it figured out. Nothing was helping. Stomach pain is the worst, too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think I would take any ailment over stomach pain.
Really?
Yeah.
My dad always says, take a shit, man.
That's what I tell my kids all the time, too. My tummy hurts. I'm like, go take a dump. You're fine.
Yeah. I'm like, my back hurts. Take a dump. Cut my hand. Take a dump. Dad, I think I sprained my
hand. Don't wave with that hand, though. That's Dad. Going to give you an infection.
Dad, my GoPro will go heartbroken. I know I'm going up. I know what to do.
You're just yelling through the bathroom door.
Yeah.
So
I need more toilet paper. There's Kleenex in there. That's for my tears.
So, yeah, he got the stomach pain. Like, do you know much about his stomach pain?
His stomach pain?
Yes.
Oh, stomach pain in general. Yes, I have had a tummy ache before.
Tum-tum.
No, I did not know that he had stomach ache.
Chronically, and it was debilitating.
Is it like a Crohn's thing? Is that what Crohn's is?
Crohn's and IBS are kind of the same thing. Yeah. He said that he would often perform, and then he would just go backstage and vomit blood.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This is something I knew
I'm
about
sure
him, too.
And cigarettes and Jack Daniels helped.
You know what? I do think that helped. I do. I don't know much about stomach pain, but I'm pretty certain that Jack Daniels helps.
Yeah.
Ulcers, for sure.
Definitely heartburn.
So he said that because of this pain, he also considered taking his life at some points. Because it was just like, he went to doctors for 6 years and nobody was helping him. Mm. So one thing that did make it feel better, sadly, was heroin.
And by it, you mean everything.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Like, this is heroin. Of course it did.
What do you know about heroin?
Well, it was painkiller back in the day.
That's true.
Right? They were like, here, have some.
Isn't like one of the main components in it morphine?
I don't really know what morphine is, and like opiate and fentanyl. I just figure they're all the kind of the, I don't really know.
Right. You're drunk off one beer. What am I talking about?
I know. I know.
Staggering. So, you know, because of this, he was doing a lot of heroin and it helped, but.
Well, obviously.
He did finally find a doctor who was able to help him with the correct medication. And I watched an interview with him. Okay, now this interview that I watched with him has some people think one thing and some people think another thing because they say to him, how's your stomach pain? And he's kind of, he was always in his own head somewhere. So he's kind of just looking away. And then he looks at the interviewer and he just gets this nice smile on his face. And he goes, it's gone. Like, I finally found something that works and it's gone. And I've never felt better in my entire life. Some people think that he found a doctor that helped him. other people think that he was talking about the heroin. So that's up for debate, I suppose.
Tired of having a sore stomach? Heroin. Tired of feeling any sort of pain or ailment? Try heroin.
Do you want to know how little I know about Nirvana?
Yes.
So I was trying to like pump myself up, kind of get in the mood. Like when I did the Eric Clapton story, I listened to a ton of Clapton. And so I was like, let's put on Swallowed by Nirvana. They're like, that's not Nirvana, stupid. That's Bush. And I was like, huh.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
And then they were like, it came out in 1996. And I was like, well, that's too late for Kurt.
That's definitely too late for Kurt. I'll give you that, though. It's a rock-alike. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate that. So, you know, we don't know what he was taking exactly, but bottom line is he felt better. And he looked really sweet when he smiled and said that he didn't have the pain anymore.
He looked at the camera and he's like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but let's just say it's preparation. Like, what the fuck? What did you do? Is that the guy from the Foo Fighters?
So, he, yeah, like I said, he even said that he had never been happier in his entire life. But of course, by the time that the pain was gone, he was also a heroin addict and it had completely taken over. One notable time was on January 11th of 1992. Kurt and Courtney shot up heroin before Nirvana was scheduled to play on SNL.
That is so romantic. Like, you know, I always wonder, like, what do rock stars do to connect?
And now we know.
Ooh. Like you and your husband. I bet you have never just shot up and then done
SNL. And you know what? That's maybe where we've gone wrong. Maybe if I just brought home some black tar heroin tonight.
Right.
Everything would be great.
Wow.
Ugh. So, you know, they made it on time, surprisingly, for rehearsal. And Kurt somehow pulled it off. But afterwards, he went backstage and he vomited for an hour straight. He went on to perform two songs, but he looked like he was, like I said earlier, performing from muscle memory. The way he plays his guitar is still insanely impressive.
Eerie.
Like, almost more impressive than if he just had been sober, because you're like, how are you fucking doing that? Your face is saying a different thing than your hands are.
Yeah.
He did look like he was sleep performing, and when he almost fell later on, Dave Grohl was heard calling him a junkie asshole.
Oh, like on the show?
It was like just as they were exiting.
Oh, that's crazy.
But it was also around this time that Courtney Love found out that she was pregnant. And on February 24th, 1992, the couple married.
I shouldn't say ugh. My apologies. I didn't mean that.
No. Have you seen Frances Bean?
I've saw her husband is, and I just think it is just the greatest thing.
Recently, her husband, because she's divorced once.
Yes, and fuck that guy.
So Tony Hawk's son is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That first
she
husband,
is
like
fucking stunning.
Oh yeah, good for Frances Bean.
Oh my god. Like,
oh,
I'm
that's
like,
fantastic. Good for her.
She looks like Kurt. There's sometimes I see her and I was like, I can see a little bit of Courtney, and that's unfortunate.
I'm just glad she's happy, because like that first guy like took like a bunch of Kurt's shit like in the divorce.
She gifted it to him though.
Yeah, but still, don't fuck.
It wasn't a bunch of stuff. It was the guitar that he used during the MTV
Unplugged,
which is like arguably one of their most. Look at her.
She's got a little Riley Keiko thing.
Look at her hair.
Oh my god, look at that hair.
Look at her fucking eyes. Never mind her hair.
Yeah, wow.
She's so stunning. That bottom lip, though, is all Courtney, eh?
Does she, does she have a relationship with her mom? Or are they estranged?
I mean, it's hot and cold.
Yeah.
So they married. It was a small wedding. No family attended. Dave Grohl and Kurt's best friend, Dylan Carlson. Remember that name?
No.
Fine.
I will. I'll write it down on my little notepad here.
So they were in attendance. Chris Novoselic was noticeably absent. And that was simply because he did not approve of this union.
Whoa.
And I mean, ding, ding, ding.
Who's ever been to a wedding and been like, I fully approve this nuptial?
Kurt was wearing fucking green PJs. Like, I don't even think he approved of that way.
Where did you get married? Beach? No.
Yeah, Dominican. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I didn't wear jammies, though.
What did Matt wear? White shirt and like khaki?
Bingo.
Yeah, good move. Good call.
And so did his groomsman and our son, because Max wasn't there.
Oh,
the only kid that's not a bastard.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
So
Oh, God. I hope none of my kids' teachers listen to this podcast.
Nah, they'll be all right.
They're fine. They're fine. Yeah. So, yeah, they married in Hawaii, and this is where Kurt famously wore his pajamas to the ceremony. Ironically, this is my fucking favorite part of the entire story.
Yeah.
It was Courtney Love who insisted upon the couple having a prenup. Because many anticipated that Hole was going to be a bigger success than Nirvana.
Who the hell? Oh, that idiot Jan Winner from
No,
Rolling
it was her
Stone?
Mom. You, sweetie, you're going to do better. Yeah, for sure.
You know that song that revolutionized rock and roll? You're going to do one that's good.
I really like the way you look like you pushed your makeup on 4 days ago and it's just slowly been removing itself. So, like, your green lips from that beer right now look more like meant to be than her lipstick ever does. So, on August 18th of 1992, Frances Bean Cole was born. Kurt would use a picture of Frances's sonogram for the artwork on the single of Lithium. And her middle name would be because when he saw her ultrasound, he said she looked like a little bean.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's true. They do look like a little fucking bean when they start.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like a kidney bean.
Nice.
You're like, huh, that's going to turn into a person, eh?
Oh, it's got my gunk. Flora.
Oh, are you sure that's mine?
Honey, look, he has your amniotic sac.
So, according to some sources, a lot of sources, she was born with neonatal abstinence syndrome, which could be due to the fact that Courtney was using heroin during her pregnancy.
Oh, God.
The couple did lose custody for a period of time when she was 2 weeks old, and they were only allowed to see her with supervision.
Because of the drugs and all that? Gotta be.
It's been kind of hush-hushed, but that's the speculation. Mm. I mean, I think that... You know, what was it called?
And loud music probably all the time at that house.
Yeah.
No environment for a child.
So by 1993, Nirvana was fucking huge. They were selling out shows everywhere and they could really afford the finer things in life. But to his core, that was not who Kurt was. He preferred dingy old motels, you know, than high-end ones. He said that he loved, and I watched this interview with him, and he's just... so handsome. He loved the magic of going into a thrift store. He loved being able to find a little treasure. And he said those things meant more to him than being able to walk into an expensive store and buy them out.
That must have been something thrifting like back before Value Village, like back in the day. When
nowadays
it was
it's Nirvana t-shirts that you find at fucking thrift stores.
I know. Yeah, you're right. Oh, you'd be so sick.
So,
what might become?
You know, Kurt didn't care about money. He didn't care about the fame. He was an introvert and he was shy. He did what he had to do, but he really just didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. He told an interviewer that he was having, this is what he said to an interviewer, that he was having a fine time chatting with him. He's like, you know, it's okay to be chatting with you right now. And he said he would answer all of his questions. And he said, but everything he was talking to him about was just surface level, and he wasn't going to divulge anything that he hadn't sent to 1,000 reporters before him. Like, he was just like, it
same
is what it
questions.
Is. Like, this isn't, yeah. It's just a business exchange.
What do you like to do on the road? What's your favorite city to travel to?
Yeah. So, but Courtney did care about the money, and she began to get in Kurt's ear about it. She would tell him that he was the only talented one in the group, and that he deserved to be compensated for that. She demanded that he asked for 75% of pay from royalties and 100% for lyrics. But Chris and Dave knew that it was not Kurt that cared about this stuff, and it was clearly Courtney, and that left Dave and Chris both receiving 12.5% for the music.
For the music?
Mm-hmm.
25%?
I mean, they were probably like, okay, we just cleaned up from Nevermind. So, like, I mean, I guess moving forward, whatever.
Yeah.
So, in September of 1993, In Utero was released, which achieved both critical acclaim and commercial success. And in January of 1994, at Courtney's insistence, the couple purchased a home at 171 Lake Washington Boulevard East in Seattle, Washington.
Seen pictures of that house many a time.
Mm-mm.
Yep. Spoiler alert, something happened upstairs.
They purchased it for $1.5 million. Can I tell you something?
Sounds like nothing.
So where we live right now, like, it's a nice area because we live on a peak. So we've got lake, you know, on one side, lake on the other side, and then lake at the very end. Mm-hmm. But one of the homes there that is not on the lake, I mean, everywhere is within walking distance to the lake, but it's not physically waterfront. On the lake.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny house, and they had their water heater in their kitchen, like visible. Mm-hmm. And it sold for $9.95.
Wow.
And it was, there's no way, my parents' house is 1,500 square feet. I would say this house is maybe 11.
Wow.
$9.95. And it doesn't even sit on like a huge piece of property. And it's right beside the like town convenience store.
Is your mom single? What is her situation? And is she at the point as we speak?
Well, I don't live with my parents.
All right.
Do you think it's just me and my mom chilling on the point?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I have kids.
Oh, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, no. My parents are in Bradford. You can hit her up if you want.
Yeah. All right.
No, like, there's a canal.
Heard of it.
It smells.
I take my kayak in there. And you get to see all the old, like, super big ass, like, million-dollar yachts from the 1970s and 80s.
I would not recommend falling off your yak.
No. God, no.
I have known a few people who've died in there.
Yeah. Shit's gross. Mm-hmm. And it's stanky.
Mm-hmm. So, they bought it for 1.5 mil, which is Dick insanity. Yep. It's just over 7,000 square feet and sits on 1 acre of property. In November of 1993, Nirvana performed the MTV Unplugged in what was probably the most popular performance in rock history.
Yeah, definitely up there.
Yeah, and like, it's the most popular version of those songs.
Yeah, that acoustic. Well, and then that was an album too. I forgot that they released.
Looks so hot in that too. They,
yes, that sweater. Oh, I'm wearing
a love sweatshirt. That sweater. I know it. So, after that performance, Kurt gave the go-ahead for a 38-day European tour that would begin in February of 1994. Things were starting to get pretty messy, though. Kurt and Courtney were constantly fighting, and Courtney frequently was getting physical with him. She once called the police after Kurt had shoved her when she threw a glass of juice at him. So
you're an adult. The fuck you drinking juice for?
Juice is pretty delicious.
And lie to the cops. Say it was water.
So he would be arrested and held for 3 hours in one of the strangest moves ever. Courtney would hire her ex-boyfriend and known drug user, Michael DeWitt, who also went by the name Callie. Do you know him?
No.
Okay, you will.
I am writing his name down.
Yeah, Michael DeWitt, he goes by Callie. So I'm going to refer to him as Callie from here forth. And she wanted him to watch her child. So that seems reasonable.
Uh-huh.
So Kurt's grandfather, Leland Cobain, would say that he showed up one day and both Courtney and Callie were visibly high while looking after Francis. Also, why is the nanny there when the mother's there?
Mm. Also, in Courtney Love's defense, I don't know a ton about kids and health, but the baby was on heroin. So if you're doing heroin around a baby that was on heroin, I'm not seeing the problem here. Again, granted, I don't have kids.
It's probably for the best. It's probably for the best for everyone. In February, Nirvana traveled to Europe to embark on their tour. When Kurt fell ill, on top of all of his other ailments, Kurt suffered from chronic bronchitis. So when...
Did he have a puffer? I bet he did. Like an inhaler? Greatest rock star of all time.
So, you know, when he was diagnosed with this, as well as laryngitis, the doctor told him that he needed to take 2 months off, which is not ideal for touring.
They're like, yeah, you have the two worst things for singing, so...
Laryngitis, like, I don't... You can't sing, right? Mm-mm. So in order to get back to good, he was going to be forced to cancel his European tour. At least that, like...
Yikes.
Tour. So Nirvana's last performance ever was on March 1st of 1994. It was in Munich, Germany. And you could tell full on by listening to it that he was not well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he had. I just honestly thought that the only health issue he had was drugs and smoking.
No, he had a lot of things.
Smoking darts.
So Kurt would then fly out to Rome to seek medical attention. And on March 3rd, Courtney would join him, which was probably fucking fantastic. He was like, oh, great. My fucking bitch of a wife is here. So on March 4th, Courtney asked hotel staff to call 911, telling them that her husband was unresponsive.
Why don't you call 911? Why do people call people, tell them to call 911?
Well, I mean, you maybe they didn't have a phone in their room or something.
Oh, she was yelling? Well, she's yelling to call 911. I'll give it to you. But if she's calling them, be like, call 911. I mean, you fucking call 911.
But maybe it's like one of those things. I don't know how Rome works. A, I don't know. How, like, do you have to call down to somebody for them to call out for you?
Buongiorno, a dial a nine. Please, signora, if you want to get out the dial a nine.
Okay, well,
that's... Please call 911.
Do any of your friends even have to go on vacation? Because I just felt like I was in Rome.
That's correct. Thank you.
So, he was rushed to a hospital in Rome where they put him into a medically induced coma.
Mentally. I think I have been in a few mentally induced comas.
He probably should have been put in one. He would. And it was recorded that he came in with respiratory failure. And when the American media got a hold of this, they claimed that Kurt Cobain had died in a hotel in Rome. But 20 hours after being admitted, Kurt was awake and asking for a strawberry milkshake.
I love rock roll, rock and roll.
That just seems so phlegmy. Like, you're just...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're laying down. Yeah, you're not... Yeah, no. Yeah, you don't... No.
Get a Diet Coke, Kurt.
Yeah, or a water. How about a water?
You know what? That could have changed his day.
Let's just hydrate, all right?
So once back home, Courtney and Kurt fought fucking endlessly. Especially, though, because he had turned down a large cash offer. It was about, at the time, 9.5 mil.
Wow.
To perform at Lollapalooza. And if you ask me what that was, I don't know. I would say maybe it's like Coachella. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I believe the only difference is it...
Less nipples.
It travels more.
What?
Yeah.
A lot of missed opportunities.
A lot of three-nippled people can Lollapalooza. No, it's like a Chicago big musical festival, but they also tour. Like, they did one in Toronto. And
that's great. Yeah. Isn't it? Was it thrown by MTV?
No, it was thrown by, what's that band called? Jane's Addiction, I believe, founded.
Not a clue.
Okay.
Fine. And I'll be covering their case next week. That's Harry apparently Farrell. What I do. So, I just need Hanson to get in some trouble so I can cover one of their cases. I could fucking just rattle off facts about them all day. That'd be no work at all.
Some would argue you could read the lyrics to Oombop. Yeah, it's something troubling.
You have so many relations in this life.
Oh my God. One more.
On March 18th of 1994, the couple were fighting again. Courtney had called 911 saying that Kurt had locked himself in the washroom with a gun. When officers arrived, he told them that he was just trying to do whatever it took to get away from her. But because of this, the officers had to confiscate his guns. On March 25th, Courtney and Kurt's best friend and fellow drug user, Dylan, threw an intervention for Kurt, which he did not take well. He found this to be extremely hypocritical. And he said as much, but Courtney threatened him with how much time he would get to be able to spend with Francis. So he agreed to fly to LA to go to Exodus Safe Landing Recovery Center. He would fly out to California on March 30th and arrive at the facility. In his extremely short time there, Kurt would have visits from Courtney and his 20-month-old daughter, Frances. Sadly, this would be the last time he would see Frances. At 7:25, he would tell a nurse that he was going for a cigarette. Okay, Kurt, if you have fucking chronic bronchitis, please don't have that cigarette.
Yeah. I love how we're like lecturing a rock star.
Who's dead?
Kurt. Maybe
check in. Call me.
Maybe go easy on the darts. Maybe switch to lights.
So it wasn't until about an hour later when they realized that he had not come back.
Ooh, like one of those dads. Let's go down for a pack of smokes.
So you know, do you want my beer? Just do it. Live a little.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to be like burpy and...
Farty?
Farty. Oh, it just looks it's just so awful.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't drink beer, and I
try. Warm green Heineken. I think I'm good.
Don't give it back.
I think I'm good.
No give backs.
Awesome.
So, he had scaled a fence, like a little Spider-Man.
Wait, he couldn't just leave?
You know what? I did read that they could just leave.
Yeah.
So, I got to wonder if he just, maybe he had to sneak. Maybe he had to like check out with somebody and have them open a gate or something. And he was like, I'm like,
F that.
Yeah. So he scaled, which is actually how I leave anything that I'm enclosed in. Yeah. I just scale buildings. I thought you were done with it.
Yeah, whatever. I'm a glutton for punishment. Oh, it's more Heine.
So he then booked a flight with Delta Airlines for 10:20 to take him back to Seattle. He arrived at an airport at 9:30. And when he was there, some people were recognizing him. He happily chatted with some fans and signed some autographs. Imagine having that autograph. That autograph.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Or any autograph, really.
I mean, that one, yeah. And then he got on a plane for a 2-hour ride back to Washington State. On the flight, he sat beside Duff McKagan.
Oh, yeah. Duff. Yeah. He's from Guns N' Roses.
You're so smart.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yes, from Guns N' Roses. And Duff would later say that Kurt looked down and upset. Mm. At 1:30, Kurt arrived to his home where he sat with Callie and Callie's girlfriend, who was named Jessica Hooper.
Should I know her?
Nope, I just remembered the name, thought I would brag about
it. Thank you. Good brag. Love your flexes. I love when you flex. So,
before he called a cab, so please remember that he called a cab here. So he sat with Callie, Callie's girlfriend, called a cab, left his residence.
Okay.
Because he didn't want to run into Courtney. And same.
And he left his friends there?
Well, his house? Callie was his live-in nanny. So they were just there, right? Like they were just already there when he got there. And so he just was like, hey, what's up? I got to get out of here. My bitch of a wife's going to come
home. What's up, Mike DeWitt? Friends call me Callie, live-in nanny. How you doing?
Did you write that down somewhere?
I did. I have it right down there. Mike DeWitt, Callie, live-in nanny.
So on April 3rd, Kurt and his buddy Dylan would go into Stan Baker's sports store and would buy a Remington 20-gauge shotgun.
Oh, shit. No way.
And they would have to have it registered to Dylan, as Kurt had recently had all of his guns confiscated.
Oh.
Dylan.
Matthew, don't like this.
Are you talking about you?
I was.
Oh. Okay.
I meant to say Matt, man. I don't want to say Matthew.
Matthew doesn't like this very
Matthew
much.
Matthew doesn't like this. Okay. Lynn doesn't give a shit.
So Dylan said that he would never have agreed to help Kurt buy the gun if he had known that what it was going to be used for.
Oh, well, obviously, you idiot, but still, maybe not forgery with gun purchases.
Thanks, D-Man. So, you know, he said that there had been a burglary at Kurt's house, and Kurt had explained to Dylan that he just wanted it for protection.
I think you could probably just could have told Dylan, hey, here's my marriage certificate. See the name on there? I live with Courtney Love. Yeah, man, here's a gun. No problem. Because that bitch cray.
That bitch is cray. You're right about that. So I think that, you know, somewhat neatly wraps up who Kurt was as a person, where Nirvana was, and where they were headed. But Kurt also said to Courtney and to many others that this marriage was over. It was done. He was getting a divorce. He had even called his attorney, which unfortunately was also her attorney.
Oh, God, Kurt.
And he was taking the first steps in getting her name removed from his will. But then this woman's name was like Rosemary Carroll or something like that. But he called and said, I want to take her out of my will. And then Courtney called and said, fucking, I want to know if there's any way that I can get the prenup voided. And I want to know, I want you to get me, because this was their entertainment lawyer. So like things that were pertaining to their
contracts, right. And yes.
And so
fees and whatever.
Courtney said, I want you to set me up with like the most cutthroat, vicious divorce lawyer that there is.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was going to let this happen, but it wasn't going to be easy. And that's where we're going to leave it for now.
What?
We have all of, you know, the backstory next week, and we'll get into Kurt Cobain's death, the strange circumstances surrounding it, and some of the theories and some of the aftermath.
I have a theory. She did it. Because she's the worst.
If you're a part of our Patreon, part two should be up and ready for you. But if you're not, stay tuned next week. And we have only just begun to scratch the surface.
Can't wait. It's not too late. Sign up for Patreon.
Bye.